Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Hello, everyone. I'm Alicia.
And I'm Nathan.
Welcome to episode 52 of Adventures in Mousecapades.
This week, we're going to discuss the post-grunge bro rock influence of Nickelback.
We are not, unless we're going to be talking about the musical extravaganza of DJ Cumberbund's Pants Feet.
Pants feet.
Yes. Okay. We'll stop. We'll
pants.
Today, we're actually talking about Disney's year in review, 2022 Disney year in review.
Indeed. Quite a year it has been. There's been a lot going on.
Yeah.
By no means are we going to cover every single little piece of news that has come out of the world of the mouse this year. But we'll talk about some of the highlights that at least piqued our interest and bubbled up in our brains as we sat down and put together this list.
Yeah, there's been a lot of changes and things this year. And we just thought it'd be good to go through a couple of them because as we're writing things down and going through them, we're like, yeah, there's been a lot.
So let's kind of start off with the first most obvious thing is that Disney, along with the rest of the world, continues to recover from the pandemic. As most folks will know, the parks were closed for months, if not in Disneyland's case out in California, over a year. And there's just been a phased reopening as people start to become more interested in returning to vacations in person and start to be willing to go out and work out for Disney. Because let's face it, there's a lot of folks who were laid off from Disney that were not interested in coming back. And Disney has had some trouble in the parks in staffing back up. So let's cover a few of the things that came back this year in 2022.
First off, the big one is I think most, if not all, I'm going to say most, of the restaurants are back. Buffets are back. Akershus recently came back to the buffet princess dining option. Was at November 4th, which is at Epcot in Norway. I just remembered something that has not reopened, and that is breakfast at the Garden Grill in Epcot.
Oh, that is true. So the Garden Grill is itself reopened.
Garden Grill's
open. And characters are back at the Garden Grill, but breakfast is not.
Not yet.
And that is a crying shame.
Yes. It's delicious breakfast.
Other things that have returned include a bunch of after-hours events going back to the way they used to be. So we have Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. We have the Very Merry Christmas Party. We have the same things happening over in Disneyland as well. It's been great to get back to normal, if you will, for a bunch of these after-hours ticketed events.
A lot of the parades came back. Main Street Electrical in Disneyland came back for a limited time. It'd be nice if it was still there. But it did come back for a little bit, which was awesome.
Yes. I think this is the curse of Bob Chapek. You can't just say the curse of Bob because there's a lot of Bobs going on. And we'll get there.
Yeah.
But Bob Chapek, if my memory serves me correctly, was the, we'll say, inventor, if you will, of the concept of putting things in the vault to get people all excited about stuff coming back and then throwing more money at Disney. And he put the Main Street Electrical Parade back in the vault. So it was great to see it back. They sold a bunch of merch around that, but it is gone for now. We can only hope that it comes back in the not too distant future.
They did sell merch. I got a pair of mini ears that have the Main Street Electrical Parade motif on it. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's see. There's a couple of shows that came back too. The Festival of the Lion King went back to normal Festival of the Lion King. It was for a while a celebration of the Festival of the Lion King.
Right. The Flying Monkeys, I'm getting that name wrong.
Tumble Monkeys. Not Wizard of Oz.
No. That's very, very true. Different set of monkeys.
Yes,
the Tumble Monkeys are back. If the Flying Monkeys wind up in the Festival of the Lion King, that will be news in and of itself and a very interesting crossover.
Yes.
Another show that came back is the Nemo show in Animal Kingdom. It has a slightly different name. It has shaved about 15 or so minutes off of the runtime. It is much more concise, has a nice pop in the LED wall in the background that gives a really cool stage presence to it. So Nemo is back as well.
I think it's the Big Blue and Beyond or something like that.
That is it.
Yep. Fantasmic is finally back on both coasts.
Woohoo!
World of Color has also come back in Disney's California Adventure.
Love that show.
Yes.
The Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is back with all of its over-the-top use of glitter that just drives me insane.
It's pixie dust. It's not glitter.
Mm. Okay, yep. Sure.
See, some other things that have returned. Minivans are back at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, we got to use these for the first time this summer.
The overpriced Ubers or Lyfts, whatever they are.
But really cool. Love to have a themed option.
Yeah. Very convenient, that's for sure.
Yep. All of the hotels and resorts at Walt Disney World are now reopened, with All-Star Sports being the last one to come back. So that's great to have all of your options available again there in Florida.
Also in Florida, we have the Star Wars Launch Bay opened back up in Hollywood Studios. We also had something just open up yesterday or today.
Yes, the railroad reopened today as we record here on the 23rd of December. That is awesome. That is my favorite.
Yes, it's been closed for so long.
I very much missed the railroad as we were in Disney World this summer. That was sorely missed by yours truly indeed.
It's been 4 years, I believe, since they shut it down when they started building Tron.
Yes, and other tangentially related news, Tron is about to open after 5-6 years of waiting for this thing post-announcement.
It's been so long.
It has been a hot minute waiting for Tron to reopen, but it is due to reopen in quote-unquote spring of 2023.
Yep. There's a couple more things that have opened back up in the West Coast Disney. The red car trolley is back at Disney California Adventure. And Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage finally came back after its refurb. I believe it was, when we were there, it was down. It was getting all scrubbed and all the foliage. Yeah. It's not foliage underwater. What is it? What is it underwater? All that
I don't know.
Stuff
my brain is drawing a blank, but we'll go with foliage.
Okay.
It closed with the pandemic, park closure, and had not reopened. And they took the opportunity to really do a full refurb of that ride. And from what we've seen from folks online, the colors just pop. Like everything is reinvigorated and just really plussed up. I'm kind of interested to see that again. I like that ride. It is quintessentially campy and yet a lot of fun. So I hope to see that again sometime soon.
I like the Nemo rides on both coasts. I enjoy the submarine voyage, and I like the Seas with Nemo and Friends. I like that ride too, in my opinion. One of the most important things to come back was the character experiences, is being able to be face to face with one of the characters and give them a hug. I missed that so much.
Yeah,
and being able to get their autographs too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Getting a hug from Chewbacca on my birthday was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the last thing on our list of reopenings is Shanghai Disney and Hong Kong Disney. Those parks reopened and then reopened again and then reopened again.
And then
reopened again.
And then it's closed.
Yeah, it's been it's been an interesting time for those two parks there in China.
Yep.
We won't get into that at all.
We'll move just on to the say, next section.
There have been lots of opportunities for a reopening celebration for those two parks.
Yes, they'll get there eventually.
Indeed.
Though we have some upcoming stuff that didn't happen this year but was announced.
Yep.
Either this year or very late the year before, maybe. One of the big ones is Splash Mountain being rethemed to Tiana's Bayou Adventure.
And this is in both Magic Kingdom and in Disneyland. Mm-hmm. They are moving away from the Song of the South and into a more modern and less
problematic.
Racist. Yes. We'll go problematic. That's probably a little better than racist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Into a better footing, thematically speaking, for the ride and its theme. So we are very excited to see what happens with those.
I'm excited for this, definitely.
Wish we would have been able, well, we were able, we just haven't taken the opportunity to visit and do either of those two rides in Florida or California in our last visits this year. And I think our son is ready to be very mad with us about that.
Yeah, I feel really bad about that.
I do too. That is his favorite ride. Yeah. And that was a big miss on our trips this year.
It was.
However, I think he is going to really enjoy and love the re-theme to Princess and the Frog and Tiana and everything else that comes out of these rides. I am so excited for what the Disney Imagineers do here. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I love Princess and the Frog, and I know Sterling does too. So until he gets on it, we'll see what he thinks.
Yes.
But with just the music involved in Princess and the Frog, I am excited for this. I love the feel and the style of that music. When we visit Tiana's place on the Wonder, I love it when they have the band out playing. It's just going to be a blast.
Well, we're both, I mean, we played a lot of jazz in high school. Mm-hmm. I still play some jazz and swing kind of stuff here and there. Like, jazz speaks to us. And so we're definitely in that target demographic for sure, thematically. Other fun things that we've learned, or there have been at least announcements about and lots of news about, is Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway coming to Disneyland. And that is set to open here at the end of January in 2023. So not too far from now. And then Toontown as a whole is also being reworked along with that in Disneyland. And that is set to open in early March of 23. So here we go with another opportunity in another park to ride what is really one of my favorite rides these days. It's just a lot of fun in Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. I love what they've done with the colors and technology. It's so great.
Now, one of my most exciting things coming up, I guess, would be the Hatbox Ghost is coming to Haunted Mansion in Magic Kingdom Walt Disney World. I am so excited for this. I love the Hatbox Ghost so much. I was very happy when he showed back up at Disneyland and just finding out that he was coming to Disney World. Super happy.
This is probably one of the smallest announcements or changes that we have on the list. And we were talking as we were compiling all of this is like, what meets the bar? What doesn't meet the bar of to be included in this discussion? And we both obviously agreed that it was a no-brainer that the Hatbox Ghost coming to the Haunted Mansion in Magic Kingdom has to make the list.
Yes. We should talk about some of the new things, like brand new, net new stuff that has come to Disney this past year.
Let's do it.
for better or for worse. Genie plus.
You mean Genie minus? It's Genie minus. Yeah. I'm borrowing that from DCL Duo. It's Genie minus.
Genie minus. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yep. Not my favorite. Many people's favorite.
I love FastPass. I love the MaxPass system, the MaxPass that you even had to pay for at Disneyland. Sure, fine. Like, we're paying a lot to get in the park, but whatever. But the way they have rolled out and managed the Genie minus system is just crap.
They're making a profit with it. Definitely. They're getting money from people using it.
Sure.
So we'll see if there's going to be any changes or refreshes to it this coming year. I really hope there is. I hope they utilize it better. I don't know.
The biggest change I want to see is to go to what we had with the Max Pass in Disneyland, which is the stupid cap on the number of times you can ride a ride in a day removed. If I want to use my pass and my availability and my dollars to ride a single ride over and over and over, and I can't book a new one until I've already consumed the one I already booked, fine. Just let me do that. If I want to ride Big Thunder through the Lightning Lane twice in a day, just let me do it.
Yep.
Okay, let's move on because I don't want to get stuck there. Yes. Indeed.
Another thing that has happened or is new is the Hey Mickey tech refresh in the resorts for the Lexi devices. I don't want to say the actual name because it will trigger mine and probably if anybody has one.
The Amazon Echo device.
Yes.
Oh, crap. We call it some Lexi people. A wake word. So okay. Yeah. The Amazon-based home assistant devices that you may or may not have in your room are coming to at least the Florida parks and a service resorts called Hey Mickey.
Yep.
And that is starting to be rolled out right now at the Polynesian. I think I'd also like to include with this the tech refresh that they've been doing in the rooms across the resorts. We've seen it in most of the DVC rooms so far, and I know they're going to put it through the rest of the resorts as they get to it. But it is a refreshed tech package. It is new, bigger screens. It is a smart device that powers those screens. You can stream from your Disney Plus or your Netflix or what have you onto that screen from your device. It's really, really nice, with the asterisk and caveat that there is some disagreement of whatever legal nature, and YouTube is not supported through that technological platform.
Yep.
And when you try to do YouTube, there's a dialogue that pops up on the TV and says, I'm sorry, we're waiting on Google to make some change to interact better with our device. I call BS. There's just some, it's not a technical limitation.
No.
This has
some
to
sort
be
sort of agreement.
Mm-hmm. They want some money. Somebody wants some money and whatever. Guys, figure it out.
Yep.
I want to be able to watch Mammoth Club videos or All Ears videos or Disney food blog videos while I'm in my room. Those are all on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Just figure it out. Lawyers, lawyer up, pull down your big boy pants and just get it done. Let's go.
It'll happen eventually, I'm sure.
Indeed.
Some of the other new things that happened this year, the Guardians Cosmic Rewind coaster finally opened up. This is a romp. It's so much fun.
Yeah. I am looking forward to the day I can get into that seat and make it through that ride.
You will have
it
a
looks
blast.
Like a ton of fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
The Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel also opened this year. We were very much like, meh, not worth it. And then we had a wonderful interview in episode 32 with one of my coworkers who went on the Galactic Star Cruiser, and she kind of changed our minds about it. We would love to go to this sometime.
It's interesting. I agree with you. I would love to do and spend some time in the Galactic Star Cruiser. And yet when we sit down and start thinking about where we want to put our vacation dollars.
Yeah, it's not there. It's so expensive. It's not
coming up on that list because I can take that amount of money and go sail the Caribbean for a week or sail to Hawaii for a week. Like,
yeah, the dollar just, amount doesn't match up yet. It's very much, from what I've heard, a one and done type thing. So we will see this coming year how that changes, because I don't think it's doing as well as they hoped it would, because they don't have the repeatability for this type of experience.
We've heard of a bunch of quote unquote sailings of the Galactic Star Cruiser are at a third, a quarter of occupancy. That doesn't seem like something that is sustainable, and it will be on Disney to figure that out. And I mean, I had 6 semesters of economics and finance and accounting in college, and I got straight A's. And there's this thing called supply and demand, and it all maps back to a pricing model. Mm. And if your demand at an existing price isn't meeting your supply, then you need to reduce the price to actually sell the rooms to make more revenue. They'll figure it out, but they're not there yet.
Yeah. It'll also be interesting to see if they add more storylines to it. Because I think if they do something like that, that'll bring the repeatability in. Like if they change storylines or add different ones, or I don't know, do like a Life Day story around November or something like that. Who knows?
Ooh, smart. I like that. I like that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. We also saw this year the introduction of the Magic Band Plus, which I don't know. I mean, the price point of these are like $35 per band, and it lights up. It interacts with different things. It interacts with the 50th statues that they have at the Walt Disney World Resort. And it also interacts with the Bounty Hunter game at Galaxy's Edge, Batuu, on both coasts.
Right. So as of the beginning of April, it'll be a thing that lights up for some things, maybe some shows, and powers the Galaxy's Edge Bounty Hunter game. Because I would assume the statues are going to go away. And all of that works, assuming you remember to recharge it every night. Yes. So yet another thing you have to charge overnight. Yeah. I don't know that it really is worth it.
I don't know. I mean, I do like the Bounty Hunter game. I really do. I think that's a lot of fun, but it can lose its luster pretty quickly.
Right.
Like, I don't know how many times you can play it. Like, I would love to go back and keep playing it, but I don't think it'd be like a daily type thing. Who knows? I don't know.
But I mean, that's the other thing. Like, you've just spent, we'll say, I don't know, on average, $140 or $150 to get into the park for that day. Maybe $110 or $15 if you're in a multi-day thing. Like, are you going to pay $120 to go do a bunch of scavenger hunts?
Yeah.
Plus a $40 thing on your, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just doesn't seem worth it.
I think it seems like that type of thing would be more for people who have annual passes and go there much more often. Yeah.
Yep.
I think the last thing that we have on here that is new is it's actually just started, I think, a week or so ago over in Epcot, the DuckTales World Showcase Adventure Scavenger Hunt, which we've never done any of these. This used to be based off of Phineas and Ferb Agent P, Perry the Platypus.
Yes.
And before that, it was a Kim Possible thing. We've never done any of that. And I'm hoping next year when we go to Epcot, we'll be able to take a look at this and see exactly what it's all about.
Yeah, it's a scavenger hunt to keep kids really involved in the World Showcase. Because let's be honest, a lot of what's going on at World Showcase is more geared for we'll say older kids and adults, especially when you're talking about being able to drink around the world or do a bunch of international food festivals and things like that. Like, it's just not really a kid-friendly thing, or at least it's not geared to kids. And so this is a chance and an opportunity to have kids really invested and have something to do while their parents go and drink at various places on World Showcase. I'm excited to see it back. It'll be fun. It'll be cool.
Now for some of the things that went away this year at Disney. One of those is when you stay at the resorts, you no longer get magic bands with your hotel stay.
All about the dollars. You have to pay for your money. Also gone right now is the ability to purchase an annual pass. You cannot purchase an annual pass at Disneyland. It's a magic key, whatever you want to call it. You can't purchase any flavor of annual pass in Disneyland. You can renew them, but you can't purchase a new one. In Walt Disney World in Florida, you cannot purchase an annual pass. If you live in Florida and you're okay with a metric crap ton of blackout dates, you can purchase an annual pass. But if you want any sort of other annual pass because you don't live in Florida, including if you're a DVC owner, hello, that's us. We cannot. Nobody can purchase an annual pass. You can renew if you already have one, but you can't buy a new one. Get it together. We'd like to give you our money.
Well, they end up getting more from us because we don't have annual passes.
Okay, that's true. but is it really?
I don't know. I'm guessing.
I think I'd be more interested in purchasing some souvenirs and things through Shop Disney because I get a 20% annual pass discount than not. Like,
I know there's people that would go more often if they had an annual pass and spend money in the parks,
right?
At restaurants, shopping, whatnot. And they can't do that because it's too much just to go without an annual pass if you're going more than, what, 5 or 6 days?
Absolutely. I mean, look at our plans for what we have coming up here in March. Mm-hmm. We're going to be in Florida for like a week. Right on either side of our cruise, like we'll have a few days before and a few days after, and we're only planning to go to the parks one day.
Yep.
So that means there's 5 or 6 days where Disney is not getting our extra money. If we had an annual pass and we were in the parks, we'd be buying merch most likely. We would be buying food for sure. They're missing our dollars. I'm happy to spend our dollars elsewhere. I am happy to spend our dollars on getting to go hang out with our friends off property. I know our friends do not have annual passes anymore because of all of the things that Disney has done to remove rights and privileges and put up roadblocks to using an annual pass. They have got to fix this. Yes. They have got to get the locals back on their side because right now they're not. Yeah. It is way too difficult to A, get an annual pass, and then B, use it. This has to be fixed. Yes.
So, yeah, annual pass is gone. I hope it comes back. Another couple things that are gone, both in Animal Kingdom. Primeval Whirl was deconstructed. Is that the right word? Demolished is gone. Yes,
removed.
And Kite Tales is no more as well.
Indeed. R.I.P. Kite Tales. Yep. We hardly knew ye.
Yeah.
Primeval Whirl leads to a whole interesting set of openings because they haven't really announced what they're going to do with that space in Dinoland. And in fact, while D23 didn't give a whole lot of any sort of details about what's going on in the parks,
horrible.
That's a whole other topic for a whole other podcast. We won't go there today. They're kind of opening the door to, hey, we're thinking about what we might want to do with Dino Land and Animal Kingdom in the future. Maybe something with Moana, maybe something with some other property. Like, there's just some options out there. So is this the beginning of the end for Dino Land?
I don't know. There's still a ton of other dinosaur-related stuff over there, though. I mean, that was just one ride. There's still a lot over there. Yeah.
But if you're thinking about a zoologically based theme park and you have a movie that did really well and is super popular called, what was that called? Zootopia.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Frozen.
Let it go, okay? Let it go. But if you have a property called Zootopia that is all about a utopian living environment and world for a whole bunch of animals, and you don't have anything in any park around that, like, that is a no-brainer. Dino Land should be rebranded to something to do with Zootopia.
That'd now, be awesome.
100% awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of what that means for Dinosaur the Ride.
I don't know. I was kind of hoping that they'd... this is hard. Because I was like, oh, maybe they could like do another adventure type theme over there and make it Indiana Jones East Coast. But
yeah,
no, because it's the same ride mechanics. But mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't want to say goodbye to Dr. Grant Seeker. So I don't know.
At the same time, I mean, that ride is from the 90s. Like,
it's really like loud, too.
The overlay for that ride and Dr. Grant, and I forget her name, but, you know, Felicia Rashad's character. Like, let's face it, this whole thing is 30-plus years old.
Yeah.
And it could use a refresh, a glow-up, if you will. It would be amazing to be able to keep it as dinosaur themed, but
we'll see where it goes. Again,
I'm willing to give that a new refresh. I will always love the existing dinosaur ride, even though it's incredibly too loud. Yes. I will love it. They're not going to make it. They made it. Yeah. So like there's stuff like that I just love. But like Splash Mountain, I am willing to move forward to get something new and interesting and fresh. Yes. And I think Uncle Walt laid this whole thing out in that, you know, Disneyland and by extension all of the parks will never be done. They are always supposed to evolve and be something new and be something fresh.
Yeah,
I think if they're willing to get rid of the great movie ride and replace it with something awesome, like Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, I can be okay, though sad, but okay with moving on and seeing a re-theme of what today is the dinosaur ride into something that's even more amazing that ties into the Zootopia universe.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to DVC now. There's been a couple of changes with this stuff.
We've seen the Grand Floridian have a whole building rededicated to DVC. The Big Pine Key building is now a DVC studio building. They're all studio rooms, basically a hotel room that's been refreshed and available to acquire or rent, as you were, for DVC points. It's interesting. This is a large-scale footprint of DVC rooms that don't have a kitchenette. Something to be aware of. If you're okay with eating out in the parks or at Disney Springs or whatever, and you just need a coffee maker really in your room, then these are the rooms for you. Kind of like the few tower studios that we see over at Riviera. Like it's really just a hotel room. It's just a bedroom and a bathroom, which is fine for some people.
They have a microwave and a fridge, though, too. So right. there's a microwave in the rooms, which differentiates it a little bit from a hotel room because it has a microwave.
Yeah. It is different than pretty much all of the other DVC rooms.
Yes.
Other than the, you know, there's a handful of tower studios at Riviera. I think yep. there's like a one or two per floor in that, like all of the other DVC rooms, like globally, have a kitchen in them. And yeah, these don't. So yeah. it's not to say that it's bad. It's just go into that with your eyes open.
Yep.
That may be okay with you on your stay. And if so, have at it. If you're wanting to have a kitchen because you want to be able to save some money and do groceries and cook some meals and stuff on your own, just know that these studio rooms at Grand Californian may not be for you. In which case, and you want to stay at Grand Californian, there's a whole other DVC building that is, you know, the original DVC building there that is available for you. And those are great suites.
Grand Floridian, not Grand Californian.
Everybody knows what I, you know, what I really meant.
Got it.
There's too many grand things around. I don't, my feeble brain can't handle it.
There's only two, hon.
My dear. Yeah, details.
There's also been a couple of new towers introduced. We have the Disneyland Hotel new tower over in California.
Yep.
I wonder how they're doing that. We haven't seen any updates on that recently.
They're working on it. I am excited for the potential of being able to use some of our DVC points there in California, because right now it's pretty much impossible to get a room at the Grand Californian. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that works, but that's exciting to me.
There's also the Polynesian Tower that they're building in Walt Disney World Resort in Florida. I think those are the only two new buildings.
Yeah, those are the two big new projects that we're aware of.
Yep. They're building a DVC lounge in Disneyland over at Star Wars Launch Bay in Tomorrowland on the second floor. This is nice that they will have something over on the West Coast. They have something similar right now in Epcot.
And then we're also seeing a whole bunch of refurbishments and refreshments across the fleet of DVC resorts. Mm-hmm. In progress, we have a refresh happening over at Boulder Ridge. We have in 2023 planned refurbs and refreshes at Beach Club, at Boardwalk, at Hilton Head, and Vero Beach. And then they've also announced as of the most recent annual meeting, which is great because last year they really didn't say a darn thing about what their plans were. In 2024, we have refurbs and refreshes scheduled for the Animal Kingdom, Kidani Village and Jumbo House, Bay Lake Tower, Copper Creek, Grand Californian, Old Key West, and the Treehouse Villas at Saratoga Springs. Awesome to see our dollars at work and updating these rooms.
Yes, I'm glad to see Bay Lake Tower is on that list because we have stayed there recently and it is definitely starting to show its age.
Yes, it is needed. I think we kind of commented this on our most recent review or discussion of this. I forget which episode it was, but I remember saying, I don't know that I would stay at Bay Lake again until it's refurbished.
Yep.
And so now we know it is on the list for that work to start happening in 2024.
Yep. One other thing that we've seen with DVC is the return of Moonlight Magic.
These are awesome after hours events that are free for DVC members that are just a ton of fun. And let's face it, you don't get a lot for free. And of course, you've already spent tens of thousands of dollars to buy a DVC contract. Mm-hmm. So is it really free? But anyway, if you can ignore all of that, these are free nights. These are, you know, 3 or 4 hours in the parks, complimentary because you are a DVC owner. Those came back after the pandemic for the first time this year. I went to one with a couple of our friends. They have already announced that they are coming back again in 2023. It is great to have these perks for DVC owners coming back.
Yep. On to one of our favorites, Disney Cruise Line.
All right.
this year the Disney Wish launched. There you have it. That's it. That's it. All done. I'm excited to go on this ship. We moved one of our prior cruises to March of next year. So Nathan and I will be going on the Wish in March of next year. They also announced this year what the next Disney Cruise Line ship is, and that is the Treasure.
So the Wish and the Treasure are the first two of three ships that are in the Triton class, if memory serves. Mm-hmm. Yep. There is a third one that is supposed to come out and launch in 2025. I think the Treasure is scheduled to launch and start operations in 2024. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see one more ship in the Triton class landing after that.
Yep.
And then, of course, we have the surprise announcement that just landed a month or so ago, and that Disney has purchased the Global Dream, which is a ship that was meant for the Asian market that was about three quarters of the way done, and then the owning company went bankrupt. And so Disney bought a multi-billion dollar cruise ship for like $42 million.
Pennies on the dollar.
Complete no-brainer. Yeah. Disney has said they're going to put about $1 billion into it to Disneyfy it, to retheme a few things, change some design elements a little bit. It'll look very much reminiscent of the other ships. But we are moving from what everybody had thought was going to be a 7-boat Disney Cruise Line fleet to an 8-boat fleet. Yep. With one ship that is, in all likelihood, though Disney hasn't officially stated this, going to have something permanently based in Asia. So it will be really interesting to see how that all plays out. And the Global Dream, or whatever that becomes called, obviously they're not going to call it the Disney Dream because they already have one of those.
They have a dream, yeah.
Indeed. So whatever this ship comes out, it's supposed to come out also in 2025. So this two ships launching in 2025. Mm-hmm. And we'll just have to see what that looks like. But there's a lot of speculation. I think a couple weeks ago, Alicia and I got into that in terms of, okay, they have all these boats now. What does that really mean for ships that are 20, 25 years old? Yeah. And the magic and the wonder? We'll just have to wait and see how that all plays out. But we won't get into that today, other than to say, if you really like those classic ships, I would highly recommend that you go and book some excursions on the Wonder and or Magic in the next few years.
Speaking of the Wonder, new itineraries were announced this year.
That's right.
For the Wonder. These are Australia, New Zealand, South Pacific cruises on the Wonder, which sound amazing.
Yes, these are happening in late 2023, I think, and early 2024. Mm-hmm. It is a set of itineraries that Alicia and I wish we were going to be able to go on. It is not in the cards at this time. If anybody out there is willing to sponsor us and wants to hear our reviews, we are open. The email is podcast@adventuresandmousecapades.com. Let's talk. Yeah. But in the meantime, we do have some of our best friends that are planning to be on the Sydney to Hawaii transit on the Wonder in February, or I think it's March perhaps, of 2024. And you can bet for sure that we will hammer them for all of the details. Yes. And hopefully have Bill and Rachel on the podcast so we can discuss all of the amazingness that happened while they were on this really, at this point, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be on the Wonder in the South Pacific. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. We have other things planned for that year. We do have cruises set for that year.
Yes.
Just not those.
Just not those. In fact,
just not those.
I will be in Florida while Bill and Rachel are on that cruise because I have to hang out with Abby because Abby needs a buddy and a friend while Bill and Rachel are gone. So I get to go hang out with my best buddy, Abby, who is a enormously powerful and strong and loving and fun pit bull. I can't wait. There will be many treats offered and I cannot guarantee that she won't gain weight because she's just, I give her lots of treats and I apologize in advance.
You spoil her like a grandchild.
Uh-huh, pretty much. Until we actually have a grandchild of our own, Abby is it. I will say all of her friends in Florida got a Christmas present this year. Abby got two. So
there you go. There's also a new sailing tier on Disney Cruise Line.
On the Castaway Club.
Yes. You know, we just reached the top one. And of course, Disney said, nope,
here's another one. I just reached the top one. You've been there for a little while, but we won't rehash that.
I was trying to be nice there. The new sailing tier is called Pearl, and it is once you hit 25 cruises. So we have a ways to go now.
Indeed. Hey, we always need a target, right? We need goals.
Okay.
We have to have something to work towards. I wish Disney would change this to be nights sailed instead of itinerary sailed. That would be fantastic.
Especially since we have a tendency to go on the longer cruises.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
But it seems like we'll have to do a bunch of shorties okay, fine. We'll play your game, Disney.
We'll get there.
We'll play your game. Exactly.
On to the international stuffs. Disneyland Paris celebrated their 30th anniversary this year.
Yep, and that I think celebration continues on for the next year or so. Obviously, we have Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary celebration that started in October of 2021. And like any birthday of the modern era, they continue to celebrate that for 18 months. You know, some people have a birthday week. Some people have a birthday month. Disney World has an anniversary year and a half because money.
I think it's through March, so we'll hit it one more time.
Yes, yeah. Okay. We will.
All right. Tokyo Disney Sea celebrated their 20th as well.
Indeed. And the Toy Story Hotel opened there as a part of that 20th anniversary celebration.
Disneyland Paris opened their Avengers Campus.
And then we saw Epcot also hit its 40th birthday, although that wasn't really met with a ton of fanfare because the overall resort 50th really kind of stole the spotlight.
Yeah, I think that was October 1st was Epcot's 40th. So happy 40th, Epcot.
The last thing we want to talk about in the year of our Bob 2022 is the regression of the Bobs. What was once Bob Iger and became Bob Chapek has once again turned into Bob Iger. Bob Chapek lasted as CEO of the Disney company from early 2020, although Bob Iger stayed involved through the pandemic because, you know, the board was like, look, there's this new guy. Can you please help him through this fun stuff? Until Bob Chapek was rather unceremoniously replaced over a weekend a few weeks ago by, what was that guy's name? Oh, yeah, it was Bob Iger again.
Yep,
so he's back. We're really just recycling Bobs here.
Yes, regression of the Bobs.
Although, with most regressions, it's a bad thing. You know, we work at Microsoft. When we talk at work about a regression, that's like, oh, man, like something that we changed unintentionally broke something else. This regression of the Bobs is a good thing in our humble opinions.
Now, this is kind of the same thing. Something well, that we something that they changed unintentionally.
That's
broke
fair.
Something.
That's fair. The version JPEG of the Bob didn't quite work out, so we had to revert back to the other Bob in Mr. Iger to right this ship and figure out a different path forward.
Yeah.
Lots of interesting news articles about this. If you look up in the Wall Street Journal, there was a really in-depth, inside the curtain, behind the curtain, if you will, view of everything went on with this whole, I don't want to say fiasco, but it was a thing. In business terms, in business world, like this was, there was some drama here. Some boardroom drama happened at the Disney company.
It remains to be seen if this is a good move or not. I have hopeful expectations.
Yes. I think as does pretty much everybody else in the Disney blogosphere and vlogosphere and podcastosphere. There's
thing.
Everybody who talks about Disney as a for a living or as a hobby shares your opinion in that we're all very hopeful and have perhaps some unrealistic, but definitely high expectations of what Mr. Iger can bring back to the Disney situation.
Yeah. I think it's nice that there is a creative type back near the top. I think it is important that Disney has a creative type up at the top.
Yep.
And from what we've seen in the history, it always seems to work better when there are two main folks up there, a creative and a financial. I mean, that's kind of how it started, right? Was a creative and a financial.
Yep, absolutely. Walt was the creative and Roy was the financial, and they worked really well together. Bob Chapek was frankly, a bean counter and frankly decided to focus the company around growing subscriber numbers to Disney Plus, with ironically not so much looking at the bottom line. And now I will cut him some slack in that the last decade or more of Wall Street has been, we want to see growth. I don't care if you're making money. I don't care if you're making a profit or not. I want to see growth. And with the potential recession that we're entering in and the pandemic and everything else, you know, we had a little bit of companies going like, oh, there's all these new patterns and everybody has so much more time and streaming services are going through the roof, and lots of businesses, the one that pays our paychecks every couple weeks included, made a bunch of business decisions around saying, oh, this is the new normal. And the reality is the pandemic is not the new normal. And so we're seeing a sea change there, and we're seeing Wall Street and analysts and investors for the first time in decades, honestly, it's not just a pandemic thing, but for the first time in a long time going like, yeah, it's great that you're growing, but we want to see you be profitable. And right now, Disney Plus is not profitable because Mr. Chapek has been throwing a boatload of money at content and trying to bolster subscriber numbers, but not necessarily looking at the bottom line of what that return on investment is. So we will see how things play out. The reality is, I think a lot of folks, us included, have been lamenting the nickel and diming of all of us who go to the parks. Yeah. And we've seen ticket increases, multiple ticket price increases in 2022. We've seen merch price increases. We've seen food cost increases and all the rest of that stuff. I mean, that's what's floating the company right now. I don't think we're going to all of a sudden see like ticket prices slashed. I mean, that's what's funding everything that's going on over in Disney Plus.
No, people are continuing to pay the, us included, the higher prices for tickets. And they've definitely priced people out, which is very unfortunate.
And I think from what I've read, that backlash of people being priced out and the backlash in social media and vloggers and bloggers and other people calling out Disney for just doing blatant cash grabs and really undermining and lessening the value that they get for things like annual passes and other things that you buy into was actually part of this decision that the board made to regress the Bobs. So that is at the end of 22 here as we sit, that is perhaps the biggest story that has come out of Disney this year when it comes to the parks and everything else that is Disney is the old boss is back. He has a 2-year mandate to A, right the ship, and B, put it on a path with a new successor that can hopefully do better for the brand and the company and the stakeholders and investors than Bob Chapek did.
Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss.
Literally same as the old boss. Yes.
Well, that was our quick, quick review of the year. We know we missed some stuff. There's other things that popped into my mind as we were having a discussion, but that's okay. I'm looking forward to the next year and seeing everything that Disney does. They change, hopefully things for the better. Rides opening, new shows opening, new ships showing up. Well, that's the following year.
That's the following year. Yeah. But I understand your point.
Yes.
And new experiences for us as we go on Disney trips in 2023. Yes. And we'll talk about some of that next week. I just want to leave this off. This is our last podcast of 2022. Mm-hmm. This is our last podcast of the first year of Adventures and Mousecapades. And we'll get into this a lot next week, but this is episode 52. We have done this every week, which blows my mind. And the few and the proud of folks who download this and listen every week or whenever you can, I am just blown away. So we'll get into a lot of this and looking back and everything else next week. But just to say, thank you so much for listening to our humble little passion project that is Adventures in Mousecapades.
We are not affiliated with Disney, and we are not travel agents. We do like to offer our opinions and suggestions, and we do recommend working with a travel agent to plan your perfect vacation.
If you have any questions or suggestions, please don't hesitate to send us an email. We're at podcast@adventuresandmousecapades.com. You can also follow us on social media. We're at Our Mousecapades pretty much everywhere you look. Give us a rating and review in your favorite podcast app that helps the algorithm point people in our direction. And just thank you so much for listening. We'll be in your ears again next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for flying Star Tours. Bye-bye.
Can you say bye-bye?
Bye. Bye-bye now. No, that was really bad. Oh my gosh. Bye. Bye-bye. Ciao.
Can you say bye-bye without the at the end?
There, that was Morse code for bye. Bye-bye.
Okay.